Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to my podcast. I'm Louise Boyce, aka Mama Still Got It. And today I'm speaking with Alex Walker, who is only the editor at large at Stylist Magazine. We'll be talking all things about the 10-year anniversary, why the magazine is the success that it is, and lots more. Please listen, and I hope you enjoy it. We're going to go straight in. Welcome to the next podcast. I'm with the lovely Alex Walker, who's the editor at large at Stylist Magazine. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
I mean, I met you via reading Stylist Magazine, taking a long hot bath.
Nice. Yeah. It's been a while since I've had one of those.
Oh, I seem to do it a lot at the moment. That's lovely. But I was reading Stylist Magazine, and it was the 10th anniversary, mm-hmm. and there was an article on you, and I was like, yes, this is actually a genius, genius magazine. I've always loved it. Can't believe it's been 10 years.
No.
Found you on Instagram, tagged you in a story, and now we're here. Uh-huh. So thank you very much for coming.
You're so welcome.
So Alex is a mum of three. Brilliant names of your children. It's Miller, Lilac, and Misty.
That's right.
Brilliant, yep. Brilliant names.
So I did good. Spend a while on them, I can't deny.
I mean, it is, you know, so that's boy, two girls.
Boy and two girls,
oh,
yes.
Oh, lovely. And yeah. Do they all get on?
Ooh, depends what day.
Yeah.
They're very close in age, so they do, you know, they play similar games, which really helps, but then, of course, obviously, there's lots of arguments as well.
Yeah. Thank God, we're all normal. We're
of
in
course.
The same boat, yeah.
Oh, yeah. As normal as
normal. So Stylist Magazine, 10 years, that's unbelievable. And what a magazine.
Thank you.
It's incredible. So I'm going to start with some questions. What's at the heart of the Stylist editorial approach?
Mm-hmm. I would say women.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it's, as you say, it's 10 years since we launched it. And 10 years ago, you know, I was approached to work on this really exciting launch and I had no idea what it was. And at that time, the kind of most of the magazines or the most popular magazines were all celebrity gossip magazines. So everything that you read was, you know, cover line, so-and-so's lost this amount of weight. It was all different celebrity breakups, etc. And we launched Stylist with some rules, which were no diets, no paparazzi pictures, no celebrity gossip, and everything was pro-women. So we'd never pit women against each other. We would never put women down or tell them who or how they should behave, which was really different at the time.
It's incredible. And what I find fascinating is it's taken, it's only been 10 years ago that a magazine has actually gone, actually, here's an idea. We don't need to just talk about weight loss and who's dating who. And it's really refreshing.
It was. And I think it was, it happened at the right time because people were really quite fatigued of that. Mm. So people responded instantly and they got it instantly. And, you know, we were a feminist magazine, which was really, you know, it's much more mainstream now.
Definitely.
But at the time it was quite unique. And, you know, we were touching on figures in the boardrooms, we were looking at gender inequality across the world, but we were doing that alongside also looking at beauty products and fashion. Mm. And that was refreshing because we were kind of saying, look, women are complete beings, you know, we have lots of different facets. And whilst we are, of course, you know, interested in maybe lipstick or face creams. We're also interested in what's going on, you know, around the world.
Around the world, exactly. And was there a part of you or part of the team at first that you thought, is this going to work? Are people interested in this?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd come from very traditional women's magazines. And suddenly, you know, I was the features editor when I started. So I was writing or editing the bulk of the words that were in the magazine. And, you know, I was suddenly talking about glass ceilings and I was talking about feminism and I was talking about boardrooms and I was like, do people really care? You know,
I was, we do.
Like, I was quite nervous. I wasn't entirely sure, but we launched this, you know, we launched on a Wednesday morning and we were so nervous. We'd just worked in this tiny little room for, I think it was about a month that we did on the launch period, and we had barely left this room. It was like a bunker, and suddenly it was out on the street and we just started receiving emails from people saying, oh my God, we love it. Mm. We were getting all these gifts. There were cupcakes, because that was the time when cupcakes were all the rage. It was cupcakes, and, you know, suddenly just our entire office was full of cupcakes. And you were like, wow, we've actually hit something here. Yeah. This is working. And it was just so exciting.
And was Stylist one of the first magazines to be free?
It was. So our brother title at the time was Shortlist. So that had been around for 2 years.
Yes.
And that really was, I think, pretty much the first. There was a few, but they tended to be much more specific. I can't actually remember what they were, but they tended to be more specific. So as far as I'm aware, it was very much the first premium women's magazine that was free.
It's brilliant. And you said you're putting out about 400,000 copies per week, which is major.
Yes.
And so I guess the secret to your success must be the stories that you're putting in there are actually what women is. And as you said, like, nowadays, we do want to hear about more, you know, feminism stories and powerful women worldwide. And yeah, I don't want to hear about diets and, you know, beach body ready, because actually there's more to a woman than that.
I think that was it. It was flattering women to say, we know that you are more than just this box that you've maybe been placed in before. We know that there's much more breadth to you, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the other thing that we really wanted to do was, you know, me and my editor Lisa, we love features that just make people go, yes, that's just what I'm thinking about right now. So, you know, we spent a lot of time, still do, sitting and going, how do we get inside this woman's head? What is it? It's that tiny thing that she's thinking about, so that when they read it, they go, yes, that's me.
I can relate to that, exactly. That is major key to success, because there are lots of magazines, for example, Marie Claire, Look Now, Reveal, Glamour, InStyle, have reduced or stopped entirely. And there are obviously challenges that go with that. And do you think that because Stylist is kind of in a league of its own at the moment, it is talking about world news and powerful women and feminism and all these things that actually we do want to hear about, and maybe other magazines aren't quite there just yet? Or do you...
I think, you know, the closure of those magazines was more to do with just how the world is now.
Yeah.
You know, they were still really good at what it was that they were doing. Mm. It's just things have changed massively.
Yeah.
You know, the advertising industry is completely different to how it was it's 5 years ago.
I mean, it's crazy how much it's changed. It's massive, yeah.
Content is free everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I pick up my phone and I have got every type of story I want to read at the touch of my fingers, and it's free.
Yes.
So it's quite different to expect somebody to go to the newsagents and buy a magazine. You know, you're asking quite a lot of them. So I think it's just really hard. So we have to really appreciate that we do have a really engaged readership and do everything that we can to keep that woman engaged.
But also, you haven't just got the magazine, you've got the entire event as well that I've been to before, which is amazing, by the way. Absolutely
this weekend.
Love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. So, I mean, how you've grown in just 10 years is unbelievable. Congratulations, basically.
Thank you.
You rock. You rock. Right, next question is, for your 10th anniversary, you've collaborated with guest editors like Jameela Jamil and Caitlin Moran. Love both of them, like perfect women to collaborate with. Like, what was your reasons behind that, which is pretty obvious, I know, but, you know, what did you ask them to do, and you know, tell me about that.
So we obviously, you know, it's our 10th birthday issue. We're like, what can we do? And I think this was something that again, we've kind of done from the beginning, is just how ambitious can you get? And every time, you know, every time you think, okay, well, we can't be that, we've done enough, you know, we're like, nope, we've got to do something more. So when it came to the 10th birthday, it was like, we've got to be ambitious here. And that was where 10 guest editors in a year, which is a big ambition, came about. And so that was mainly spearheaded by our entertainment director Helen and our specials director Tom, and so we have just approached the women that we feel represent the band the most, and it's a big ask of them. We are asking them to be across every page. This isn't a kind of half-hearted, you know, guest editorship. This is a genuine, you know, Caitlin Moran, for example, we were currying over proofs. So that's, you know, the proof of each, every single page to her house. She was hand marking what she, you know, changes.
Wow, so really, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and every single part of it, they saw every page. They had copy, you know, copy approval and flat plan approval on everything. So we're asking a lot of people.
See, I like that though. That is like probably like you are, you know, you're asking someone to really get involved, not just like write a piece, you know, they are really part of it.
It's not just a picture and saying, oh, this is mine, you know. This is flying over to America in a room with Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
And
amazing.
Yeah.
Who would be your dream guest editor?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And two people, Lizzo, who I just love, you know, and I just think would be so exciting and bold, and visually I can just think you can do such amazing imagery with her. And then the other person is Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, I love her.
Who just, I just love anyone who makes me laugh, and she's, her writing is brilliant, you know. Might not be what she is, a brilliant, funny writer. And also she's quite political, but also she's very brave in what she says, which I just think is really
refreshing. It's really refreshing. It's nice to kind of see such a major celebrity just being completely honest and open. About time.
And she loves food as well, which I do. So,
So going back to what you were saying earlier about how the industry's changed so much, I mean, the rise of influencers, I mean, even for me, like being a model, I've noticed that influencers now are getting campaigns more than models are.
Really?
And it is all about, you know, your following and your status rather than how much product you're going to sell. So when it comes to the magazine, like how has influencer culture and the rise of podcasting like influenced, you know, your sector for magazines?
Influencers, I think the biggest thing is that they've really changed the advertising industry. So, you know, traditional print advertising is much thinner on the ground because a lot of that advertising is going to influencers now. And so I think, you know, it's certainly affected at that end. I don't know. We don't use a lot of influencers in Stylist. For whatever reason, I think... You know, I think influencers are brilliant, and I follow lots myself. But I think, you know, the type of copy that we do tends to really rely on experts.
Absolutely.
So, you know, a lot of our
features.
Yeah, you know, and I really, as I say, I follow influencers, and I there's definitely a place for them. But in our magazine, it's, you know, I'm not interviewing influencers when I'm writing a feature. I'm interviewing, I don't know, some expert at the University of... wherever,
and that's why I love it. I think that's why I absolutely love it. Yeah, because I lots of even like photographers and models that, you know, back in the day before social media, it didn't matter about following or didn't matter about anything. It was just like, if you're good at your job, you'll get booked again. But yeah, it's mad how it's all about that number.
It's a pressure, isn't it?
Because,
you know, I constantly think, well, that should be something that I do. I should try and grow a following. That is part of what's expected in a way. But, you know, it also feels... It's quite unnatural because you have to be willing to put quite a lot of yourself out there. You know, and you see this in writing and blogging as well. You know, the currency now is how much can you tell? How much of your personal life are you willing to talk about? And as I say... you know, I like to read it, but whether or not that's something I always feel comfortable with doing, I don't know if it is, but...
I kind of felt like I had to basically up my game with social media to keep my career, which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy. I was such a private person on Instagram. I didn't really show anything. I took a picture of a nice tree and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I was noticing that lots of models and influencers were getting my work, and I was losing clients. And they were honest. They're like, well, you know, it's all about your following as well. And I was like, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah. That's just another job for you to do.
It's another job, So I had to up my game. And I remember I remember texting my close friends saying, you will see more selfies of me.
I'm not self-obsessed.
I'm just trying to keep up with the cool kids. And they're like, oh, my God, you're just marketing yourself. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah,
it feels a bit... icky, you know?
It does feel icky sometimes. It really does.
I posted, even posting an article that I've, you know, just done on Instagram feels really like, happily posting my children.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe not the best thing, but to post anything about myself feels really uncomfortable, but that is the world now.
It is the world. And I used to do experiments on my Instagram account. I used to do a selfie and see the engagement, and then I would do a picture of, again, like a nice tree, and see the engagement. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So selfies work. Mm. But anyway, I digress. Who are your favourite influencers, just out of interest?
Good question.
Obviously, apart from myself.
Apart from you, obviously, without a doubt.
We can come back to that.
Okay, so I do follow... Courtney Adama, who I don't know if you know her. She is a kind of mum and lifestyle blogger.
Yeah. Is she the one with all the children?
She's the one with five
children.
She's
amazing. Yeah.
She is. I mean, she is like, she has this lifestyle that is ridiculously amazing and also very unachievable for me. She lives in Byron Bay. And she's one of those people who could make you feel quite bad about yourself, but actually, I just like.
Yeah.
I'm quite at peace with my life never looking like that, but I love to see that.
Yes.
But then I follow probably lots more food and interiors influencers because they're just what I like.
I love interior. It makes me just go, I need a new house.
Oh, always. But yes, always. I do like.
And you're a mum. You're a working mum. How do you get that balance between working and being, being with your family?
It's the killer question, I guess. Mm. Compromise, which is not the sexiest answer in the world, but it's been true for me at least. You know, I think when I got pregnant with my third, I wasn't actually, I was still on maternity leave. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to tell everyone? So I think when I got pregnant with my third, there was only, you know, I think I had 3 children in 3 years.
Wow.
Idiot, yeah.
And you look amazing.
No.
Look incredible.
Big bags under these eyes.
Never,
but
never.
So I think I was like, okay, this is going to be really hard. Something has got to give.
Yeah.
So that was when I asked, my editor for a different role. So I was kind of deputy before, and it's brilliant, but a very intense, you know, office-based role. So I asked for editor at large. So now I... mainly work from home, although I'll go into the office usually about once a month for a week. And I think I knew it would be a compromise. I knew it would mean that I would miss the buzz of working in an office and working with a team and being right at the heart of everything, which is what I was used to and which is what I loved.
Yeah.
And it has been a compromise. I'll go into the office sometimes and feel quite, I'm not really in the thick of things anymore. And this is, people might ask somebody else their opinion, whereas I would have always been the person.
Sure.
And so that is...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, it hurts the ego a little bit.
Yeah, and no, but that is the getting that balance. You're absolutely
but
right.
For me,
and do you know what? You're really lucky because there are lots of women who don't have
completely
that flexibility with their work.
Completely.
And that, I think, you know, it's great working from home. I mean, it has its pros and cons. I do a lot of my blogging, and obviously I'm podcasting in my kitchen right now. But I do find sometimes it is, as you said, it's nice to go into the office and get that kind of energy from everyone and the banter and
completely.
Yeah.
But I think that is something that I think is important to realise, that everybody is making a compromise somewhere.
Yeah.
It's very easy to look at somebody else's life and think, oh, I'm kind of doing it all. But they're not. They
We're
are
all
making
spinning
everyone
plates and,
spinning a plate and making a compromise. And I think I was lucky enough to be able to kind of control the compromise that I made, and that did make a big difference.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, we were on holiday the other week, and I was just saying to Jim that my husband bought his laptop, and he was like working away at night, you know, whilst we're on holiday. And I'm like, babe, get that balance.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
But there was reasons behind it. He'd just done a shoot, and he had to edit it before Monday, so there is a reason. But, you know, I think everyone needs to remember compromise, balance is key, and it is hard, but
it is, but you know, I think it is very hard, but I think you just have to prioritize what's important at that particular time and realize that, I don't know, in a couple of, well, next year my youngest goes to preschool.
Aww.
So I know. So you know, suddenly I'll have three children who are in school hours, and then things change again.
Exactly.
So, you know, then the compromises I'm maybe making with where I want to be.
Yeah. It's a very short amount of time, actually.
It really is.
It absolutely raced it. It's like my eldest son started school, well, he's in year three now. And in 4 years' time, he'll be at secondary school. And then that's when you can just go, okay, see ya. And, you know, he'll come home by himself. And it's mad. And there's a part of me that hates that, but there's a part of me that's like, ooh, next level freedom.
Yeah.
You know, like, ooh. And I've already figured out that when my youngest is 7, my eldest can babysit.
Which I did for all my siblings. I was, in fact, I feel like I'm owed a lot of money, but.
So I'm like, I've just got it sorted. It's all fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
What magazines did you read when you were growing up?
One of my earliest memories, actually, is reading Woman and Woman's Own from my mum's shopping. Going straight to the problem page. And I was genuinely, as early as I could read, that is when I was, that is what I was reading.
Problem pages. They were fascinating.
I loved problem pages and the top tips. And that was, you know, I'm definitely reading things I shouldn't have been reading. I was honestly 6 or 7 when I first started. And I was hooked.
I just remember, do you remember that magazine? Oh, gosh, please say I remember it now. Oh, it will come to me. You might remember. And it was basically all about sex. And it was like sex position of the week and stuff.
Oh, More magazine.
More, yes.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember
reading it on the back of the bus.
I remember like picking it up, like almost like looking at it like it was a pornographic magazine. And it was before I'd even had sex. And I was like, oh my God, look at this position of the week. And that would never happen now.
Never. Well, Lisa, stylist editor, edited position of the week.
Did
and like
she?
They tell her, you know, they've got some brilliant loads of people from stylists worked on more, and you know, they've got hilarious stories about getting Barbies, although it couldn't actually be a Barbie, because do you remember it was illustrated by these fake Barbie dolls and trying to come up with different positions.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did she come up with these positions?
I don't know if it was specifically her job to come up with them. But it's basically how far can you bend Barbie's legs? And then you're like, yeah, that one will work.
But do you think now, if there were, I mean, if there were positions of the week now for like magazines that were kind of targeted, I mean, were they targeted at the kind of like, I remember seeing it when I was, it was definitely when I was not sexually active.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I remember being on the bus to school.
Yeah.
11 or something.
Yeah, kind of like laughing at it and kind of getting like weirdly weird, is that what people do?
Yeah.
But I don't think that would happen now. Or would it?
I guess they were quite useful magazines, you know, like... No, it probably wouldn't happen now, but they really had their place back then.
Yeah, they did have their place
back then. I learned so many things
from
those magazines, and they were really brave if you think about what society was like back then. They were talking about women and sex and...
True.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I did enjoy it though, I must admit. I did enjoy it. And do you remember magazines like Fast Forward?
I actually don't remember.
I think I'm older than you though, so...
I remember Ms. I loved Ms.
Yes. Shout?
Just 17, Shout, all of those. I just loved magazines.
Yeah,
Marie Claire was like, oh my God, if I could do anything, I'd work with Marie Claire.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I was gutted when that closed.
I loved Look as well. It was such a good weekly, it was great. I mean, it was, it's, you know, but is that, you know, the rise of everything online now as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people are buying less and less. And I think that's why stylists... It's got it right from the beginning. It was just like handing out at the tube station. Mm. I mean, I remember getting on the tube and everyone was just reading Stylist because it's handed into your hand. You don't have to think about going to the shop, getting your money out. Mm-hmm. It's there, like take it.
Yeah.
And it was nice to read that rather than Metro, which is just full of, no offence if anyone's written from Metro. It's great. But I mean, you know, I'd rather read about Stylist
stories. It was for
stories. You. It was for me rather than, you know, who got stabbed at the end of my road. Which is basically on Metro.
Great to read. I think part of, you know, at the beginning it was handed out at exactly the same time. So you'd go to work and you'd turn and you'd see all these women on the tube reading this thing that you'd worked so hard on.
Yeah.
And still do, and that's still exciting.
That must be so nice to kind of see all the work that you've, you know, worked so hard on it and seeing people actually reading it and getting those emails.
Mm.
And I remember it still happens now when I get on the tube and I go to studios to do a shoot, and I've got the stylist, and then everyone's like, "Oh, can I nick that off you when you're done?" And you're like, "Yeah, sure, go for it." You know, and it's a magazine that people want to read. It's every page has something in there that I'm interested in.
Mm.
So that's why I had to get in contact with you when I was taking that lovely long hot bath.
Yeah, no, it's so nice to hear. I think that is the whole point.
Yeah,
you know, you want women to love it. You want women to feel like they're being spoken to. Mm. And you know, we do. The team works so hard. Like,
it
hasn't changed in 10 years. It's still
I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. Neither can I.
I mean, when it was announced 10 years, it's like, no, that can't be right.
I know. And then you look at a picture of us all 10 years ago, and you're like, oh yeah, it's been 10 years. Definitely.
It's when did you realize, or when was the turning point when you realized, all right, we're onto something here. We've nailed this.
Oh God, it was so early. It really was so early because you just got this instant feedback from everybody. And I think the other thing was I loved it, you know, and I was the absolute target. I think I was probably 27 at the time.
Mm.
And I was like, finally, something that speaks to me completely. And it was everything that I was thinking about, we then wrote about. So I think when you know how much it appeals to you, you know that it appeals to your friends, you know that that's just how it works, I guess.
And it is so refreshing. It really is. And it's, now that I've got a daughter, I think it's changed the way that I feel about women and her growing up.
Mm.
Like, I grew up in a very much, you had to be a certain size if you wanted to be a model. You had to look a certain way if you wanted to be popular. And I don't want her, and I did go through some struggles, you know, I did suffer an eating disorder because of the pressures of it all. And I don't want her or any girl, younger generation to feel like that. And because Stylist is a magazine that's come out basically saying, be who you are, you know, believe in your beliefs, strong, independent women rock. You don't have to be beach body ready for anyone.
Mm.
And I love that. And I love that, you know, my daughter is going to grow up in a generation where we don't have to be a certain type of woman to be accepted.
We, launched our Love Women campaign back in, I think it was May, and I wrote a cover feature for that. So I did so much research about how magazines and how the mainstream media and also social media has made women feel about themselves. Mm. And, you know, it's overwhelmingly negative.
Yes.
You know, so many women don't feel represented by magazines or TV or social media. You know, so many women have looked at magazines in the past and seen women who are, you know, very thin, that they feel, and it instantly makes them feel bad. And I remember growing up and looking at these women in magazines and thinking, oh my God, that's what I should look like. Yeah. And, you know, so many people have felt completely, you know, they look in a magazine, they don't see anyone who looks like themselves, and it affects them.
Absolutely. And from my point of view, because I am in that industry and I am very open on my account, I kind of do like before and after pictures of, you know, what I look like first thing in the morning and what I look like after I've been touched by a makeup artist for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's a massive difference. And you're right, people are affected. My sister, who obviously knows me inside and out, see me at my worst, even she can be a bit like, oh, look how amazing, look in that picture. I'm like, Bonnie, I'm like, you know more than anyone that I don't look like that, that it's been retouched. I've had professionals making me wear certain clothes, blow dry my hair, do my makeup. And still, she is still like, oh, but I want to look like that. I'm like, well, you can if you had that those professionals around you. But you're right, the rise of social media, I think there is a bit of a concern for women to feel bad about themselves. At the same time, there are a lot of accounts that are really open about being just, this is me. And I'm accepted this, and that is brilliant as well.
And that really does impact people, you know, it is having a positive impact. And I hope that there's a beginning of a shift, you know, the campaign that we launched, we've made a real commitment to have so much more diversity within the magazine, to make sure all of our fashion shoots represent every woman. And I think people respond to it so well, because a magazine, you should open a magazine and see somebody who looks like you.
Exactly.
It is important.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so important. Definitely.
And you know, and it is all important as well. And I think that was part of the article that you mentioned that I was in, The Work Life, was, you know, one of the criticisms we've had of that page is that sometimes it's, I woke up at 5 and I jumped out of bed and I went to my amazing job in the city and then I ate kale and then I, you know. And I think, you know, these women are amazing women, but I think we're gonna, going forward, make a real effort to say, look, this is the reality of being a woman. Mm. I certainly don't jump out of bed, you know.
Nope.
My daughter kicks me awake in the morning.
Yep.
And, you know, my job is brilliant, but there are compromises.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really go out to amazing events at night because I'm too tired.
Too tired,
I want to do is lie down on the sofa, and you know,
exactly,
and that's real life.
Yeah, that
and
is
so
real
we
life.
We shouldn't just show perfect lives all the time. We should show real lives, because
absolutely,
women.
And I'm starting to think now that we're starting to see past all the, you know, the prettiness. Sometimes it's like, you know, everyone is real, and we're all, you know, it is nice to see reality, and I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one. What would be your top tips for anyone out there who wants to start writing or want to start their own business, or mum's trying to juggle it all, basically?
Anybody who wants to start writing, tips would be, so basically, be true to your voice, which sounds quite...
absolutely.
You know, but
that's a good
don't
one.
Try and mimic somebody else's voice. And I see this happening a lot, especially, you know, people on with bloggers. They try and mimic people who've been successful before them.
Yeah.
And they're also, it almost becomes like this kind of Instagram language that they're speaking in, but actually speak like yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell writers to write like if you were writing an email to a friend, rather than trying to sound like somebody you're not, because people will always respond better to that.
That's great advice.
I think, you know, have something that you want to say in everything.
Mm.
You know, make sure that you have a point that you're trying to get across.
Right on cue.
I'm actually quite
sorry, my 30-week-old baby has just decided to wake up.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? That's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. Welcome. Honestly, thank you so much.
You're
I
welcome.
Can't believe just from like tagging you in an Instagram story and now you're here. Thank you so much. It's been
you're
an absolute
so welcome.
Pleasure. And
brilliant
congratulations
questions.
Again on an amazing magazine. I can't wait to read for the thank next 10
you.
Years.
Thank you. Me too.
Thank you, darling. You so cheers.
Massive thank you to Alex Walker, who came and did this podcast with me today. What an inspirational woman. What an amazing magazine. Let me know your thoughts. Please subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends. And if there's anything that you'd like to talk about, please contact me. I am Mama Still Got It with an underscore on Instagram. Thank you, and hopefully listen to the next one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.